Don't you just love it when that Romans 8:28 thing, that all things work together for good, is actually coming true in your life? When everything is working out just the way you want it to be working out, and you think that the Lord wants it to be working out, man, isn't life good? And doesn't it get rough when it doesn't seem like that thing is working out? Life is difficult when Romans 8:28 is not coming to pass. Wait a minute. It's always coming to pass. But there are times when it seems like it's not. When things are going south, what do you do? Simple. Head north. That's all there is to it. Everyone has periods of time in their lives where things seem to be going south, even the Lord Jesus. And that's what we want to look at tonight, Matthew chapter 4. And I want to begin reading at verse 12. Two things that happened, in particular things that happened early on in his ministry. And that's where we are right now. Last week we looked at his baptism, which officially commences his ministry. We took a look at his temptation this morning. And up until this point in time, things were going really, 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 really well. I mean, he had a perfect childhood. We don't read anything of negative of it that was going on. We find him about his father's business in the temple at the age of 12. Well, that's a good thing. We see here that he comes to be baptized and the Father speaks from heaven. That's a good thing. The Spirit lights on him. That's a good thing. He goes out into the wilderness. He has a confrontation with the devil and wins. That's a wonderful thing. I mean, things were really going along quite well. Then came verse 12. Now, when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali. And I'm going to stop there for the moment. Here are two things that went south on him. Number one, he heard that John was thrown into prison. There are three things about John being thrown into prison that really upset the ministry of the Lord Jesus. Number one, remember that John was the person who pointed out Christ to the multitudes around him. I hate to put it in these terms, but John was funneling people to Christ. We read this in John's Gospel. After Christ's baptism, he says, you know, "Behold the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world." And throughout his ministry, he must increase, I must decrease. When his disciples left him to follow after Jesus, he didn't go running after them and say, "Come back, come back." This is what he was looking for. Now he's thrown into prison. And consequently, the person who is bringing people to Christ is taken away. And that's got to be a detriment to the ministry of the Lord Jesus. Secondly, it was the religious leaders that are bringing charges against John. They were going to the political authorities, but it was the religious leaders that were really out for him. It was the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And remember, they came to John in his baptism, and John was so accommodating to him when he said, "You generation of vipers." And they said, "Oh, thank you." They didn't take too kindly to that, and they were looking for a way to get to him. And this was a blow to Jesus, because remember, if the religious leadership would have accepted Christ, the nation would have received the kingdom. But it was that leadership, that religious leadership, that was adamant against him. And consequently, if they were against John, it was only a matter of time so they were going to be against Jesus. And if they came for John to put him in prison, they were going to come for Jesus to put him in prison. So there's a a threat there to his ministry. Thirdly, he was ministering in Judea, in the southern half of the kingdom. There was a proverb in those days that if you wanted to be spiritual, you would live in Judea. If you wanted to be rich, you'd live in Galilee. Judea, where it was, the Jerusalem, you have the temple and everything that's going on there, that's where the spiritual people were. Up in the northern half of the country, that's where the industrial complex was. That's where the rich people were. And consequently, if you're going to have a ministry, you're going to want to go fishing where the fish are. You're going to want to reach the people that will have an interest in spiritual things. Well, if they're coming to take you away to prison, you're not going to reach those people. And consequently, there was a need to go get out of there, and that was going to be a detriment to his ministry. So he left, according to verse 12, Judea, and he departed into Galilee, into the northern kingdom. The Gospel of Luke tells us that he traveled throughout all of Galilee, but verse 13 here says that he left Nazareth. Well, in order to leave Nazareth, you first must come to it. And I take it there was a period of time, a rather short period of time, that he came to Nazareth, and that's where he was going to stay. Now remember, Nazareth was the city of his parents, Mary and Joseph. After their travel down into Egypt when he was a boy, he came back at the leading of God, and they settled in Nazareth. That's where he grew up. He was the hometown boy. You would think, going home, they would say, hey, look, this is our boy. This is one of us. He's making good. This is wonderful. Keep your finger here. Turn with me to Luke chapter 4. And see how much the Nazarites appreciated their hometown boy. Luke chapter 4, beginning at verse 16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Hey, wait a minute. That's good stuff. He's anointed me to preach the poor. I'm here to heal the brokenhearted, to give deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, set at liberty those that are bruised, to proclaim the acceptable. Who would have a problem with that? That's all good stuff. And he said, "I want you to know right now, that's all being fulfilled in your very presence." And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And you have to read this with attitude. And they said, wait a minute. Who in the world does he think he is? If you don't have that attitude in here, it doesn't make sense. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" This is Joseph's son. Who does he think he is the idea here. They were not too happy with what he had to say. And he said unto them, "You will surely say unto me this proverb, Physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country." And he said, "Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when a great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elijah sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. You guys think you're so good? I want to give you a little history lesson. All these things were happening in the area around Nazareth. Remember back in Elijah's day when the heavens were shut up? How many of you did God minister to? Oh, there was just this one little woman. And remember in Elisha's time, this person that was cleansed was a Syrian? You think you're so good? You're criticizing me? You're calling upon my name and saying, oh, he's just a boy? Do you think that's going to win the favor of God? There's coming a time when judgment will be coming. Verse 28, and all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with great appreciation for the fact that he warned them of that. Were filled with wrath. Wait a minute. It's my hometown. Shouldn't these people love me? And they didn't. Things went south. And they rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. They were actually trying to kill him. You talk about things going south. That was south of the equator. That was south. Fortunately, he was able to escape from them. Now, come back to Matthew's gospel. Things were going south. And leaving Nazareth, by the way, when he went from Judea to Nazareth, what direction did he go? North. He came and dwelt in Capernaum. Geography quiz. What direction is Capernaum from Nazareth? Give you four guesses. North is correct. He kept going north. Things were going south. He went north, which is upon the seacoast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. By the way, Capernaum was a city that was greatly populated by Gentiles. It was a resort-type city, and many of the people from the Roman provinces came down to Capernaum because it was on the Sea of Galilee. It was a resort. It was a wonderful place to be. It was a prosperous city. And consequently, because there were many Gentiles there, it was a wicked city. I understand that on the coast of the Mediterranean right now, in Spain and France and so forth, nude beaches are very popular. That's the kind of place Capernaum was. There was no thought for the things of God. And yet that's where Jesus went. In order that it might be fulfilled by of Isaiah's prophecy, saying, the people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. Jesus went there by the will of God. Jesus went there to fulfill the Word of God. And consequently, he had a ministry there. I got to be honest with you. When I see some people, and undoubtedly you oftentimes, maybe not often, but from time to time, might have the same reaction. You see somebody who is his demeanor or her demeanor, their dress, their appearance, their activities, their language is absolutely revolting. What do you want to do? Go the opposite direction. It was so nice this afternoon. I looked at the thermometer and it's in the upper 60s. And already I'm getting a little cabin fever and winter is only half over. And I said to myself, self, go downstairs, grab a lawn chair, go outside and sit on the porch and go through your message for this evening. You'll get some fresh air. It's nice out there. And I said, that's a wonderful idea. So I told Carol to go down and get me a chair. And I went out onto the porch, and I'm sitting out there reading my Bible, and my one neighbor up the street, who has the foulest mouth, was out on his porch. I wish I would have gotten to this part before I went inside, because really what I needed to do instead of going inside was to go up and talk with him. Here are these people, these ungodly, immoral people of Capernaum. And I would say the natural inclination is, okay, let's turn around and go south. But Jesus went to Capernaum. And from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He's saying that in a region where people could hardly care less about the kingdom of God. Why say that there? Because they were no worse off than the people who were concerned about the kingdom of God. They were all sinners. Three things that I want you to see tonight that transpired that from this things going south. When things go south, it can trigger the accomplishment of God's will. I don't want to intimate in any sense whatsoever that Jesus wasn't sensitive to the will of God. But John being cast in prison and the people of Nazareth rejecting him kind of forced him to go in a different direction. And sometimes when things go south, it's God's way of moving us from one point to another point and hopefully north. That's good. The ministry of Christ didn't change, but the people that he ministered to did. And the ministry advanced. Secondly, when things go south, sometimes it opens new doors of ministry. Look at verse 17 once again. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Up until this point, Luke tells us that he had gone throughout Galilee teaching, but he wasn't presenting this kingdom message. Lord willing, next Sunday night, when we get into Matthew chapter 5, we'll begin the first part of 3 of looking at the Beatitudes. I think that's the kind of thing that Jesus was saying throughout the region of Galilee. It was a Bible teaching ministry. But up until this point, he wasn't saying to them, look guys, the opportunity for the millennial kingdom to come is here. Now it changed the doors of his ministry. It was taking on a new aspect. And sometimes when things go south, that's the way to go. It's the way of God. God gets your attention to change what you're doing. Not that what you were doing was wrong, but now it's time for a change. Thirdly, and this is not in the text, this will be next Sunday morning's message, but what happens when he goes to Capernaum? Well, let's look at the text for next Sunday morning, verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw two other brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. Sometimes when things go south, it brings you into a contact with others who will support your ministry. Jesus was going from city to city to city by himself. Now he's got four others that are going with him. The ministry has just quadrupled. All because things went south and he went north. It looked like bad things were happening. No. All things were working together for good. So when things go south, and they will, check the road map and see what's north. There, the blessing of God will be found. Father, encourage us tonight with these words. Accomplish your purposes in our lives that we might be faithful to follow you. For the glory of God, I pray in Jesus' name.